That's one nice thing about remote meetings, though, is that when you are feeling ill, you don't have to feel guilty that you're getting everyone else sick.
Right? Everyone that came near me today, I'm like, stay away.
Right. Let's see. I've got the agenda here. It is Tuesday, March 10th, and it's 6:33 p.m. We've got Ron Hubbard, Kim Pritchard, Rachel Metcalf, Rachel Brunson, Virginia Wright, and myself, BJ Taylor. I presume we don't have any public comments tonight. And I don't remember because we had the mishap with did I send out minutes for the consent agenda?
I don't remember seeing them. I was looking at the stuff.
I believe so, because I believe you sent out the minutes for the consent agenda, and then you also sent out the new agenda, and I said, hey, you got the wrong date on there, because it was
Yes.
all done ahead of time, and you were so on top of things until I told you to put the wrong date on.
Well, it wasn't that got me off.
I do see them now. I went back further.
Yeah, I do. You did send them out.
Okay. Here's Scott. And Scott has joined the meeting. And then do we have somebody who can motion to approve the agenda, or sorry, the consent agenda?
I make a motion to approve the consent agenda from February 9th,
And
2026,
December 2nd, please.
and December 2nd, 2025.
Thank you. And I have a
I
second.
second.
Thank you. And all in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. All right. And now move on to the financial report.
I guess it helps if I unmute myself.
That does help.
Let's see. So this month, we're doing really good. Only have one spot that's in the red for our revenues. It's the federal funds. And so we expect those because most of those are reimbursements. And so we're getting to the point now where we're assigning people to those different funds. And then we'll request reimbursements, so we're not worried about where we're at there. So again, everything else is looking good. Overall, our net income, we're expecting to be positive 452,000. So again, we're doing really good. So we're not super worried about where things are at. Bank accounts moving up. So in general, everything's looking nice.
Rachel, I have to say that I'm super impressed that this year so far you've only had one month that was in the red. That's
Yes.
impressive.
What month was that?
It looks like in November.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just barely. But
Yeah, just barely at that.
So, and then jump in a little bit more detail again. We're not really seeing anywhere where we're really stressed about things. Let's see. So if we look, that's in the old building, the natural gas electricity. So that's as much as we're going to pay there. So again, looking at the over 450,000 in the positive forecasting this year. So great movement after last year and all that fun. So we're making really positive motions here.
That's awesome.
Any questions?
So when they're 100% red, that means they're a one-time expense we weren't expecting.
So it could be one-time expenses that we weren't expecting, or we spent what was budgeted. And often we front load expenses, so a lot of the curriculum, things like that, are either high or close to 100%, just because we often front load the curriculum or software, things like that. So those end up high. And then other things, we adjust the forecast numbers up if we have an unexpected expense that might go over budget. And then before the end of the year, we'll have the board approve the actual final budget based off of where everything actually went. Okay. Any other questions?
Nope, it looks good. I feel like you should have a different color for 100%, though. I feel like that should be, I don't know.
Oh, so, so we've got in the revenues, our 100 is green, so it's happy. So.
Very good. Okay. All right, thank you, Ron. Rachel?
Sorry, I thought I turned my mute on and I had turned it off, so everybody got to hear me off. Okay, so director's report. Oh, never mind. I didn't take the old date off of it. Maybe I'll change that later. March 3rd, 2026. enrollment, activities, academic programs, Treeside happenings, and additional items. I did have this ready for last week. We've dropped a little bit on enrollment. There's been a couple people that have moved different places. There was a few that left that were here because they're homeschooled and then decided it wasn't the right environment for them. So we're down to about 347. Started at 365 at the beginning of the year. All in all, that's not a huge drop. We did do an RFP for financial advisor for the school relocation, and we've received one bid on that so far. The school safety grant, which was kind of not so fun news, is we got a lot of money for the school safety grant, and then we spoke to them and said, hey, what can we use our money for now? Because it's different than the old school. And they're like, actually, that grant was tied to the old school. So you can't use that money anymore, even though we'd already kind of used some of it for the playground. And then they came back and said, you can use part of the money. So what we're trying to do for the FY25 grant is we kind of went back towards them and debated, because they said, well, that was supposed to be for audio and video equipment at the other building. And so we said, well, you know, some of that audio video equipment could be transportable. So if we can find something that is able to be transported from one building to the next, even if we left the other building, could we do that? And they said, hey, why don't you do this? You try to find something that can be transportable and present it to us, and then we'll see if we'll still give you the $50,000 funds for it and if we'll still allow that. So we have some research to do on that. So our school calendar. We noticed last year on the school report card that it showed our overall consistent attendance was like 30%. We're like, what's going on? So we contacted the state and we found out that when we put the calendar into Aspire, we hadn't counted the days we're off for professional development and comp days and stuff like that. And so even a student who was 100% attendance all 180 days, well, it was 171 days, got marked as having nine absences. So we're like, oh my gosh. So anyway, so we found that out. And then when we were doing that, they're like, hey, wait, you're taking too many comp days off. And I said, well, parent teacher conference, I mean, the teachers have to work that day. And they said, no, it's the kids that have to do 180 days, not the teachers. So we were actually audited 3 or 4 years ago before I was principal, and they okayed the calendar. And so we just followed the same calendar almost every year. So that's why we're back redoing the calendar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we found out some things that would help us that we did wrong, and found out some things that would kind of hurt us. So we're not going to, that's why we wanted to redo the calendar so we could be in compliance. We had this year, we had to document anytime we put a student in a hold, and we got a form. This is individuals regarding interventions regarding student holds. And there's about, I don't know, 12 of us that do can are able and trained to do holds on students, maybe more. And so we got, we had this thing where we are supposed to fill it out, and we have a behavior management, behavior specialist company that comes in and they give us a paper to fill out. And then Virginia has to put that in to the state's website. Well, then it comes back and they're like, you did all of these holds without doing any interventions first. And I'm like, of course we did interventions first. We're not going to just put a student in a hold without doing an intervention. And they said, well, you didn't write it down. And I said, well, your form didn't have it. And I guess we had the wrong form. So I talked to them about it. If anything comes back, they're going to let me redo it. I just haven't done it yet. So that's just for your information.
Can you real quick define what a student hold is? I think understand.
Like, it's a safety care training when students are violent towards themselves. So you think they're going to be violent towards someone else. You put them in a specific hold, like a or able to, you have to have a certain trained way to carry them or to hold them in place. You can't just like grab a student. It has to be, it's called a hold where you hold them in place.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So they were like, you didn't do any interventions before. And I'm like, of course we did. So I've been talking to the state on that. We're working on, if you get a report, it's incorrect.
Okay.
Legislative board rule, and this is what it follows, this rule, R277-608, where we have to document holds, and we also got foundational behavior training for our entire staff. So we had some people do it in person during a professional development day, and if they didn't, then they needed to do it at home. And again, we were talking about safety care training, so we had additional training done for Brooke Crane, Nelson DeMeester, Jody Gooden, Catherine Zarate, Trisha Bigler, and Johan Rodriguez. I told them they got to start stepping up to the plate, because every time we need to have a hold, it always seems to be Virginia or I that does it. So I'm like, I'm tired. We haven't really done a lot of them lately, so that's great. Our goal is balancing Waldorf-inspired instruction with state standards. Now, Rochelle was asking me about this goal, and she said, well, shouldn't we align this more to your vision? Well, we actually had a Student Success Act that we have to have actual goals, and they're measurable goals, and this was the information that we put with our Student Success Act at the beginning of the year and had goals towards that, measurable goals. Does that make sense? That's why, if anyone else was like wondering, this follows our plan that we created at the beginning of the year and that we have to have approved every year. And that's why it's opposite the vision. But I just think it's fun that we integrate the arts and our Use Fridays as our, and that's actually part of our goal, is using those and integrating the arts. And so with the plan money that we get, that's where we pay for our yoga teacher and our music teacher and our part of our art teacher that other schools don't have the funding for. So this is kind of fun. This is Valentine's Day activities. Of course, we've got Valentine's Day yoga and PE. They're doing a heart health awareness month in February. And this is our only day of snow. And our students went to Thanksgiving Point. And then they came back and they had to build a snowman. And it's, and I'm like, what are they going to do? She said, they're going to build a snowman outside. Mrs. Goodman's always really excited for kids to be out there learning about the environment. And she took them outside and took pictures just a couple days last week. And was like, look, the kids can be outside. I'm like, I know. It's great. This is music. There's a lot of really fun stuff going on in our music class. And I don't always get in there taking pictures. A lot of rhythm and beat, and I don't know if you guys realize this, but a lot of music teachers just take music in schools, but Mrs. Reeser is actually a professional musician, and she used to go around as a musician, and then she got her degree and then her teaching degree, so the teaching degree was secondary. This is, of course, I thought this was the cutest picture, kindergarten going to a Peter Rabbit play. And this is our after-school program. This is Barragan, Senora Barragan. Amalia has the kids doing different things. She's always very creative, so they're making these bracelets with like a loom. Their own designed loom with a big nail. And yeah. Treeside Happenings, Rocky Mountain University, came over and worked with us to do a student assessment with occupational therapy. So those were our first grade students, and a lot of parents were really excited to participate. We had to get permission ahead of time. They worked with about 30 students. February 12th, we had Valentine's, the 6th grade Greek Fest. 13th, 17th, midwinter break. February 18th was Choose Your Own Adventure, Family Field Trip Day, where parents have to say what they did and how it works with the curriculum. February 25th, National Pink Shirt Day. That was Standing Up for Kindness and Against Bullying. And February 26th, we had a parent guild fundraiser at the Village Inn, and I believe they earned about $500 on that. These are some of our Valentine's boxes. Our kids are so creative. This is the Greek fest that they had during Valentine's Day. I don't know if you guys saw it on our Facebook, but it was really funny because Mrs. Wagner, Dawn Wagner, ran into my office laughing. She said, I had to go outside with a parent. They were really upset that we were picketing. And I'm like, picketing? All of the kids, they designed these Greek signs, and then they were walking across the sidewalk chanting the name of their Greek god or goddess, and parents were going by thinking the kids were picketing. Because it was after all the big ice stuff, and they're like, you're at the tree size. I'm like, they aren't, believe me. But it was funny. And this is us at the fundraiser, Village Inn fundraiser. Okay, so our additional items are school land trust, final report, and upcoming plan, and then our school calendar. Oh, and then the last thing, we did this last week, and I don't even know if I put in pictures. Nope. I was getting to that before I got sick. Teacher of the year this year, number one, first place, Nadine Sundblom. She will be going on to our state competition at USBE. Brandy Dial and Katarin Zarati. And because usually, you know, there's about 70 people that vote or something like that, but we're really promoting voting this year, and we had about 160 people vote. And so we had some different categories as well. So we had parent choice, Dessa Perez and Brandy Dial, and faculty choices, Katie Duncan and Dulce Benjamin. Excuse me. But the pictures are on Facebook if you want to see the pictures.
I saw them.
So that was a lot of fun. It was wacky day. So all the teachers are not dressed the way they would have dressed if they known they were going to get Teacher of the Year. Okay. Treeside calendar. So this is what happened. If you look at, so what we did is we found out we were doing too many comp days because we weren't counting.
Are you showing the calendar? Because it's not showing.
Probably not. I'm going to share this tab instead. Thank you so much.
Yep.
I would have just kept on talking. Okay. November 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th. And this is the way a lot of the schools do it. So what we did do is we had a night time on the 5th, which is the Thursday, and then all day on Friday. So if the teachers worked all day on Friday, they can't count that as a comp day, so they'd just be working for free. So we decided we didn't want our teachers to work for free since we can only take 4 comp days, and they would rather have those comp days be at Thanksgiving or fall break. So we decided to save the ones in green that were our comp days and then just do half days that week of parent-teacher conference. So probably on the 3rd, they're going to prep, and then the 4th and 5th do parent-teacher conferences, and then the 6th is just a regular early day. And since days only have to be 4 hours, they made that a new legislative rule last year, we're okay doing those partial days. So we did that from the parent-teacher conferences in November, and then down in March again. So March 30th, 31st, 1st, 2nd. That's the changes.
How many days did you have to add? Just 4?
We didn't.
Okay.
We didn't have any.
Made them half days, it sounds like.
We just made them half days. Mm. Instead of having the Friday off for parent-teacher conferences, we're just going to do two nights. Instead of a night on the 5th and a day on the 6th, we're just going to do two nights. And then if they want an extra, teachers want an extra night, they could do it on the Tuesday. We didn't want to change anything else in the calendar. So nothing else was changed. We just had two additional days we had taken off. So we just made them part days. Well, those, if that makes sense, the only 2 days we added were the 6th and made it a part day, and the 2nd and made it a part day instead of a day for parent-teacher conferences.
Right. That makes sense. All right. Well, do we have a motion for a school land trust plan? Wait, did you go over that part?
No.
Okay.
Sorry.
Sorry. Okay. So I was looking at the agenda. The calendar was on the end. So I was ready to move on, but I was like, wait, I'm missing something here.
This is where it was in my tabs, and I'm not completely with it today. Sorry, guys.
You're totally fine.
Okay. I was just following the tabs on my computer. This is the final report from last year.
You got to switch tabs again.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And we did spend all of our money because we like to do that every year. So we talked about our first goal by the end of year 2026. Now, this is what happened. We thought we could do a 3-year goal, and we really liked the idea of doing a 3-year goal. And then the next year, they're like, hey, you weren't supposed to do a 3-year goal. It's supposed to be a goal every year. But we had already done a 3-year goal for 2020. So we were just finishing up. By end of year 2026, 70% of K-2 students will be proficient on their Acadians reading in the year. And these were the results. We were at 65% in end of year 2023. And then we wanted to raise our goal to 70% by end of year 2026. So the end of year 2026 scores have actually not been administered, but we did reach our intended goal of 70% in by end of year 2025. We increased in end of year 2024 from 60% to 70%. So that was good on our reading. And then our next is math. And we said, no, never mind. Our next is end of year reading on RISE for third through sixth grade students. So we wanted 45% of our third through sixth grade students proficient on the RISE. And again, our goal was by the end of 2026, and we haven't met that yet. But we did increase from 35% to 40%. And so we didn't meet that 45% proficiency yet, but we did make a big gain of 5%. And now it's Acadian's end of year math. By end of year 2026, 65% of K-2 students will be proficient on their Acadian's math end of year. It's different, like the K-2 students, they have to do Acadian's, and the third through six has to do RISE, just one test at the end of the year. And we increased our growth from 2024 from 56% to 66% proficiency on our math. And we reached our intended goal, 65%. And then our last one, 35% of third to sixth grade students proficient on math, RISE. And we did not increase, so we decreased in growth from 24% to 21%, but sixth grade showed an increase in growth. So this math is where we needed to work a lot on, and especially with our third grade scores that decreased to 7%, so they decreased 17%, and our fourth grade scores decreased, but our sixth grade scores really increased by 18%. So math continues to be a place that we need to work on. And we are reviewing different things and changing different things that we're doing in order to meet those goals for this year. Okay, so you don't have to approve that. This is the one you have to approve. That was just like, hey, these are the results. So our goal for this year, again, is we decided that by end of year. So it's weird because it's not the end of this year. We're now making a new plan for the end of year 2027. So it's always a 2-year difference in between the final report and the new report. So this is the results of 2025 from the last one. And now we're like this, even though we don't know what this year's scores are, we're going to kind of do a shot in the dark, hopefully, and follow a trend and be able to decide what we want our goals to be. We decided that maintaining, so staying at 70% for our K to second grade students would be really a good goal because 70% is great. So instead of like, hey, we're going to go keep going up and up and up, at what point do we maintain? At what point are we like, 70% is great, let's just stay there? Because it's always different students. So it's not like comparing oranges to oranges and apples to apples. It's like comparing oranges to apples because there's new students. So we thought that would be a good idea to maintain our goal of 70% for Acadian's reading for the K through second students. We did put a little more, well, I'll tell you that in just a second. I think I went past. Okay, and then this says by end of year 2027, we'd like 45% of our third to sixth grade students on their ELA rise end of year. Last year, we got 40%, so we think boosting that in 2 years, end of year 2027, is sufficient and is attainable. So that was be a boost of 5%. And then for our Acadian's math end of year, 65% of K to second grade students will be proficient. And that's, again, maintaining, because that was our same goal we had for end of year 2026.
But that's also the one we've been struggling on.
Yeah, no, not so much this one. The one we've really been struggling on is the upper grade math.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. We did struggle more on the lower grade math, but now we seem to be kind of getting that. We still need help in it. You know, it's still, and that's one of the reasons we last year were like, we're going to have this many people getting their math endorsement. And we had a lot of lower grade teachers get their math endorsement. So we are putting more money towards having somebody work with the kids with math from the landfill. Excuse me, I probably should know where to find that button to mute myself. And our last one was by end of year 2027. So we brought our goal down. We went from 24 down to 21, but we think with some of the things we've put in place where we're leveling the students in math in the upper grades as well, that 30% of our third to sixth grade students will be proficient on their math rise. And I know that seems really low. But we have been struggling. I think when I first came in, we were at 9%. And then we were at 14. And then we were at, you know, 25. And then we went down last year. So what we want to do is just continue some of the things that we know are working, like leveled math, put them in different groups according to their level. Getting people trained, and that's always kind of been something we've struggled with at Treeside. It is my favorite subject, math is, but anyway, so we're just going to put that goal, so it's something we can work towards and not necessarily something that that we're making too high of a goal for us.
Can I request that maybe in our next meeting we talk about that more? I would love to, and this has been an ongoing struggle for us for a while. I'd love to know more details about what the plans are to try and improve on this.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we can talk more about it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I know there's probably a lot to go into, and
there's a bit to go into. Yeah,
and I'm sure you'd like some preparation time for that, and so next month is fine.
Yeah, and then you can see us with regards to So this was one of the things I said, although our third to sixth grade students saw a 9% increase in math from end of year 2022 to 2023, 16 to 25%, it wasn't sustained. The next year we would have sustained it, but our third grade students really went down. And then this past year, it was our fourth grade students. So one grade level, because it, for our report card that we do for the state, they only really count our math for third, fourth, fifth, and sixth. So even though sixth grade significantly increased, that's where we went down. And so that's why I'm like, okay, I'm really promoting people getting their math endorsements. And it just tended to be our younger grade students that went in and got the math endorsements. We are trying something new for fourth grade this year where we're having them on levels. I mean, let's be honest, that we can look at the difference with the state and our scores as well. Anywhere in the state, there's like we're pretty even with the state on reading. So you can't expect the same 70%, 65% on Acadians as you do at the end of your RISE. But yes, I will get some information together for you next time and be able to go through those scores.
Okay.
So that's kind of where we're at. And we're just, having some extra funding to put towards having more help in math so we can have smaller groups and more help in math. That's that.
All right. Well, I think at this point, we really are ready for the action agenda, I think. do we have somebody who wants to make a motion on the school land trust plan for this coming year, 26 to 27?
Are we voting on the school calendar also?
We can do both at the same time, I suppose. Sure. They both need votes.
I propose that we approve the 2026-2027 school calendar and land trust plan as outlined by Rachel Brunson.
Second?
My second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. And that, I think, does it for tonight. Do we have somebody who want to make a motion to close?
I make a motion to close the school board meeting.
My second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Hi.
Hi. All right. Thank you, everyone. And Rachel, hope you get feeling better.
Yes.
Thank you, Rachel.
Sorry for my
voice.
Thank you,
Ron.
Not at all. Thank you, everyone.
Have a great day.
Take care.